On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
They can do us next year, maybe.
Not if you make the playoffs.
If we don't make the playoffs, I probably won't be here anyway. So. They can come here and do it all they want.
Gosh, what a good question sidebar that must have been from that one intrepid reporter.
Gruden gets a lot of credit, but the reporter who got the line out of him deserves some too.
What up, everybody? JP Finley.
That's it.
What up, everybody?
Yeah, there we go.
JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast, Mitch Tischler with the button buttoned, of course.
Let's go.
At this point, it's taking on a world of its own, and I'm not even talking about it anymore.
We're going to talk about it shortly.
You know what? You're right. Mitch is now teasing our upcoming interviews.
Exactly.
Pete Haley is here looking quite svelte. Pete, that's
Thank
a good-looking shirt.
You always compliment this shirt. It makes
it
me
looks
happy.
Good on you, man.
Appreciate
it. It shows off your arms.
Yes, that's what I'm going for.
It's also better than the T-shirt look.
I almost did two unbuttoned buttons, but it was a little chest hair coming out, so I decided to do one unbuttoned button.
You want us to just all average one button?
Yeah.
With that shirt, when you're, like, outside at the beach.
Yeah.
Drinking a Natterday, that's the time for it.
Not sitting here. That's not a two-button situation here.
Of course, definitely not in the studio.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in. You heard Jay Gruden yesterday. We were out at Redskins Park for OTAs. Obviously, there was all the kind of fun around Hard Knocks and Gruden saying, hey, they should go to Oakland. Oakland's the better story. I wrote about it this morning, though. There's always truth in the joke, man.
Yeah.
And Jay Gruden is not kidding when he if they don't make the playoffs, he absolutely expects to be fired. And I know this is a wacky fan base where half the fans think he should have been fired 2 years ago. I think there's half the fans think he's not the problem. There are other problems. But I think the reality of the situation is if they miss the playoffs in 2019, means Gruden hasn't made the playoffs in four straight seasons, means he's been here 6 years, made the playoffs once. He's never had a postseason win in 6 years. The reality of the situation is pretty ugly. It is a little more complicated than that, though. And I try to spell this out in my story. In the FedEx Field era.
I like that we call it that now. It's a good.
I'm pushing it.
Yeah.
Because it's the difference from when they were good.
Yeah.
Like, they used to be good, but they haven't been. And it largely has happened when they got to FedEx Field.
Am I a FedEx Field era baby? I kind of think I am. I'm part of Generation FedEx Field.
Do you remember RFK?
No.
Like, you were born in what?
RFK to me is where Alfonso Soriano played for the Nationals.
So, yes, you are a FedEx baby then.
Yeah.
When were you actually born?
94.
So, RFK was still open.
Yeah.
But, like,
what do you remember from when you were 3-4 years old?
No, I don't think anything.
Right. You probably remember stuff from, like, 3 days ago.
Yeah, I'm not a memory guy.
Math, memory.
All the M's.
But like geography.
But he's a big Mitch guy, so we got that going.
I don't know if he is.
Yeah, sometimes. I'm bigger than AJ.
certainly.
Are you two getting along right now, or how's that going?
Me and Pete?
No, I thought you and AJ. Or is it Pete and AJ now?
Pete's trying to manufacture beef.
So there's always some tension between the four of us. It's just hard. I was mad at Pete last night.
Oh.
And I reached out to him with the most loving.
We got really mad last night.
I asked Pete's help. So I wrote this story last night, and I just wanted another set of eyes on it because I often have a very sharp pen. And sometimes my first editor, who you guys met in Tampa, Chris Wilkerson at the Greater Wilmington Business Journal, said, my job is to dull your pen because I will often take harder shots than I should. And in writing about Jay Gruden, I think you have to write about the overall organizational failures of the FedEx Field era. Because nobody has done well, and Jay Gruden's sustained mediocrity, when measured against the bars of the FedEx Field era, is actually pretty good. That can't be the bar. I understand that.
Right.
But that is right now the bar. So whatever, I wrote this thing and I slacked Pete. I was like, hey man, can you just read this? And within seconds, I Pete had already jumped into the back end and was starting to make changes to my eloquent prose. And then
eloquent
I realized
prose.
I love editing, what can I say?
I realized I can't get into my story anymore. I'm like, Pete, what the hell, dude? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I go, when you said read over, I thought you meant edit. And JP goes, in what world does read over mean jump in and start changing things around? And I go, that's actually a really good point. I'm sorry. And then it went on for like 15 minutes. He's like, I'm really angry at you. You were trying to help, but I'm really, really angry. This
but
is
like,
stupid.
You're not good at playing it cool. Like, just read something.
But
man.
At least in this instance, I had good intentions. I wanted to just kind of help your story.
Well, let's go. Let's pull this onion back a layer then.
Yeah.
Because Mitch, you can be the arbiter here.
Absolutely. I'm here for this.
Does Pete have carte blanche to jump into my stories and help?
Well, here's...
No!
Can I make
He's the arbiter.
Here's the question.
I want to make a statement.
No, you don't get one.
Who hired who?
A long time ago.
Yep.
And then, like, kept rehiring him and got him two promotions.
A lot of rehires.
So where are we at, Pete?
Well, I wasn't editing or changing around JP's statement.
Except you immediately...
I was just putting, like, little hyphens in between fourth and string because you put the hyphen in between fourth string. I'm not changing any of your content. I'm just trying to make it cleaner.
But I couldn't get back into it. Eventually,
You're supposed to wait until I'm out. That's your
problem. No, you weren't supposed to get in.
Okay, once I said I was in, you should not then jump in. Wait for me to climb out, and then you can jump in.
You were never supposed to be in it.
Oh, this is so enjoyable.
You were trespassing in my swimming pool.
I kind of thought you said... You opened the gate. You said,
no, I didn't.
You said come in my backyard, and I went in your pool. I thought if... I'm in your backyard, I could jump in the pool. You were just inviting me into your backyard.
You're never invited to jump in anybody's pool.
You're never invited in my yard?
Yeah.
You're never invited
in my stories.
I know your wife
You're never invited
that.
In my pool.
Yeah.
Also,
where's my guy Ethan Kadu? That's who I'm going to every time. You're my new go-to, Ethan.
JP also got mad at AJ yesterday, so I was the only one that was skating clean.
Oh, what'd I get mad at AJ about?
Posting the videos and whatnot. Delegating the posting of the videos.
That was just a speed situation where I wanted us to perform faster, but I don't think any one person was wrong. It was just sometimes we're perfectly equipped, and sometimes you have to hit a curveball.
If it's up to me, it's AJ's fault.
All right. Well, it's been a hell of an open here, fellas.
It certainly has been.
None of this was planned.
Yeah.
No.
You got my,
none
like,
of this ever is
my
planned.
Day quills working. That's a good point.
Pete is so rattled right now.
I'm not rattled, but I wanted not to get off on that foot.
You know when you can feel someone's anxiety?
I hate tension.
Like, I can feel Pete being rattled.
I'm not tense about it. I'm just not going to send you anything anymore.
Oh, okay. That kind of makes me sad. I thought I was your trusted coworker.
I thought you were my trusted coworker until I couldn't get into the back end of my story.
Pete specializes in 350-word blogs.
Right.
Anything more, and he's out.
Right. And that's why he just has to start adding hyphens everywhere.
Right.
To shrink the word count.
Actually, did you write your the Christmas tree story?
I'm teasing it. It's going to be the Friday piece. I'm writing after the stream.
How many words is that going to be?
It's going to be really short. Cam Sims did not talk a lot about the Christmas tree.
Like, it's like lead, quote, surely a picture from Instagram.
A bunch of filler.
Yeah.
And then, some Instagram pictures to make it look longer.
Is it
going to
get more?
Over under 200 words in that blog.
I think I can get it to probably 225.
His Wes Martin blog had 350 words. I'm wondering whether this
Mitch
is going to be bigger.
Mitch is so hot about the Wes Martin blog.
Such a random thing to be hot about, and you're still hot about it 3 weeks later.
Well, hold on. Let me do some apologizing then. We're
it's an open environment.
Here. Okay. Tuesday. I don't know what day it is. On Tuesday, I falsely accused my dear friend Mitch Tischler of being an Eric Flowers supporter. And we have turned to you, the people, the jury of Instagram.
The true arbiters.
On the at Redskins Talk Pod Instagram. We're going to go to that later. We have a really good interview that we haven't even discussed
yet. We actually have good football to talk about.
But we're going to go to that later. And I'm sorry, Mitchell.
That's okay.
So, you know what, Jimmy? I think at this point we just go to Rob Ryan because he...
Before?
Sure, Pete.
So you said Jay Gruden, if he doesn't make the playoffs, he's going to be fired. And I... pretty much agree with that, but is there a scenario where
back up one before we go scenarios where it could not happen. If they don't make the playoffs, there's no wiggle room up or down. If they don't make the playoffs, is it time for Gruden to go?
No wiggle room, I say yes.
Yes.
Because I would have been okay with him letting him go last year. But I'm saying, like, if they go 8-8 and Dwayne Haskins looks really, really good in Jay Gruden's offense, then it's kind of a, you know, do we want to break up this relationship where the rookie quarterback's bonding with the head coach? And I think that might be the only way that Jay has wiggle room. If they don't make the playoffs, but Haskins
develops. If there's that scenario.
Or another
800 injuries.
Yeah.
If there's 800 injuries at this point, it's
if there's another 800 injuries, not to go back to the box factory, but like something significant has to start.
That's what I'm saying. Right. And I think significant is Jay, and probably more significant than just Jay.
Yeah. Right.
But if there's injuries, something has to change. You have to start over.
I think it's a hard start over.
I think there's a lot of changes if something like that happens.
If there were a lot of injuries at box factory.
You really like this box factory.
We got an iTunes review from somebody that was titled,
oh, it told me to, like, kill myself.
Again with this crap? And I was like, I thought they had turned the corner. And then JP started this whole box factory thing.
Sorry, buddy.
It's really
we need,
back.
Like, a days since arguments at zero.
Yeah.
Just keep the counter going.
All right. Let's go to Rob Ryan. We had a really good opportunity to sit down and talk with Rob Ryan. The Rob Ryan, Mitch Tischler, big man bond still very much in effect. I do believe he's selling you somewhat of fake news on the top button. But the more important part here is to hear what Rob Ryan has to say about the linebacker group in the post-Reuben Foster 2019 season and what he thinks about this defense overall.
Big, 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 big honor to have Rob Ryan. You are now a recurring guest on the podcast. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
We all sat down at the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. We had a little bit of fun.
Yeah, on my first day I was hired.
I know, man.
You guys broke the news to me.
You complimented Mitch's shirt that day. What do you think of his shirt today? You like it better?
I think it's a strong game here. I think, with the sun here and the lights, man, it looks great.
Yeah, what do you think of the top button?
The top button look.
Hey, you know what? It's a stylish look for the big man.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah. I rest my case, my friend.
I guess I
might have been converted right there.
I like this sweatshirt. You know, so.
If I could get away with wearing a hoodie, I definitely would.
I like that sweatshirt, too.
Yeah, thanks.
Plenty has changed for you since the Super Bowl when we last talked. You've now been here 4 or 5 months, been through free agency, the draft. How do you like your collection of inside linebackers?
I tell you what, I think it's outstanding. I know we had the quick injury early to Reuben, who was, going to be great for us. And he's great in the meeting rooms, and he's found a real home here. Guys, taking him under wing, he's been working really hard. But the guys we have are doing really well. Mason's lost a lot of weight. He looks great. I thought he played really well last season. But having him out here and watching his leadership, he's been exceptional in the room. And then Sean Dion, I don't think anybody will recognize how quick he's moving. Couple years off of injury, so this is the year they really make it a push. I know he played a little bit last year, but he's going to be a big time contributor. And Cole Holcomb is a young kid we drafted in the 5th round, who's exceptionally bright. So we like him a lot. And then Josh Harvey Clemens is back again. He excels in coverage. He's got that great length. Flowers is a guy who was on the roster at the very end of the season.
Sure.
He's playing on both spots, so he's getting a lot of work. And then adding Bosick has been a nice pickup. I mean,
second rounder.
Second rounder, but he looks like it. He's eager to go. He had a ton of reps when he first got here. I was checking on him. He go okay, all right, go to 2-minute. It's rare that you pick up a guy that has played a lot of football, but is really a quick learner and understands so quickly in our scheme and fit right in, because we have a multiple scheme under Greg Minuski, and he's come right in, picked everything up. I like his leadership, and we have a really good room.
So we got to talk about all the guys you got.
Right.
But we got to start with, we were all here last week when Reuben went down, and just that scene was so sad, and you could sense it on the practice field with the coaches, with the players. Have you talked to Reuben? How's he doing mentally, and just how do you get him to move forward?
Well, I know he is. He's got a great attitude. He's a great person, and it was tough that day, because we've all seen it. Everybody's been on that field has seen it. Knows what it looks like, and it's a bad situation, but he's got a lot of friends on the team already that he's made before, and those are family, so he's going to lean on those guys. He's going to be gone for a couple weeks. I understand his surgery went well today, so he'll be back in the building. And look, we still have his spot in our meeting room. He's going to be around. He's not going to be a stranger to the complex. He knows this is a good spot. He knows he's got a lot of growing to do. And he's embraced that, so he's going to be here, and he's going to be one of us.
It's a spot where you have a little bit of depth. You have guys who were here last year. How much did that injury change your outlook on outlook for the season with those guys?
Well, it really doesn't change. We don't even have a depth chart right now,
right.
So you know, I don't know if you've been tracking how we've been rotating. It's like a hockey bench, man. We're running them in and out of there, left and right. And, you know, my famous thing, I'm telling Cannon, who's working with me, you know, Matthew's like, you know, hey, now the big thing is I'm not going to keep track of these reps. Man, it's all I'm doing. Okay, you're in, you're in, you know, trying to keep the reps bounced. But that's what OTAs are for. You know, you set your goals as a unit. You want everybody to be able to communicate, run the defense at both linebacker spots. And that's our goal. By the end of these OTAs, we want everybody to know the defense, be able to run both spots, and contribute. You know, right now we're not even looking at base personnel, sub personnel. Guys are getting all the work at all of them. So we're happy with our group and want to just be a little tiny part of our success. We know there's so much talent on this defense all over the place, so we just want to be a part of it.
What's the process like getting to know the inside linebackers? Is it just watching a ton of film? Is it having meetings with them, talking about, you know, what they like to do on the field, their strengths and weaknesses? Kind of talk us through how you've gotten to assimilate yourself with this unit.
Well, I tell you what, you know, every staff is different, and we took a lot of time, especially, you know, Greg and the defensive staff. Me and Ray are new to the staff, so they took a lot of time. We watched every cut up. We talked about every player. And, you know, so you get an understanding of what we were trying to accomplish with the plays, and then you get an understanding of the players themselves. And then when you break down other opponents, you see those players again on tape, get appreciation of their talents. And then when you get to meet them in the room, you know, you spend a lot of time together when we are meeting. We break up individually a lot. That's by design. So Greg does put us in situations to get to learn our players. And I think it's really helped. I think it's helped me a great deal. And again, we have an outstanding room of linebackers, and guys feel they can, you know, communicate. I think communication's been a strong suit for us. And anytime you have open dialogue, it's good for a room to grow.
You know, we're talking to you about the linebackers, but you're a former coordinator. Horton's a former coordinator. You know, there is way more experience on this staff. What would you say you think about this defense as a whole?
Well, I've been impressed with it. I mean, shoot, I covered it like you guys did. I covered the team last year a little bit.
For Sky, right?
Yeah, in Sky Sports. So I knew, you know, this is, you know, a top five defense going in. I know it had a few hiccups and at the end there when there's so many injuries. But this is an ultra-talented defense. We have an excellent coaching staff, and we're gonna do a great job. I have no doubt about it.
I wanted to ask you what the meeting rooms have been like. When we talked to the Super Bowl, you said that it was a lot of fun when you have so many great defensive minds that get together. So what's it been like for you guys as you've started to try and plan out how you want to run the defense? Is it a big collaboration?
I mean, everybody's got their roles. I mean, I think the big thing is you identify what our strong suits are. We did that in the offseason. You know, Greg talked about the system, how we have it, and, you know, as an assistant coach, you know, your job is to advance the plan as best you can. But, you know, we do have a lot of unique, you know, guys with a lot of experience. I mean, we're the over the hill gang. I know that's a, you know, big time.
Unless you call it the over 50 gang.
Yeah, a big time deal here with the Redskins. You know, those were players back then. Now we got some coaches that got a little long in the tooth here. But the nice thing about experience is, you've been there, so you know you have unique perspective on things. And hey, we can call it this, we can play it this way, and it's been outstanding. I mean, you know, when you have Jim Tom Sula as your D line coach, you know, you've got me as inside backers, and Ray Horton in secondary, and then our young guys also, which are outstanding coaches. You know, so it's been a lot of fun. It's going to be great. Can't wait. You know, to keep going. We got mini camp coming up after another day of OTAs, but training camp's going to be a lot of fun, and it's been great to get back on the field with everybody, but it's even been better to be in on this coaching staff. You know, Jay's quite the character. I think it's fun working with him. I think he's going to be awesome. So whatever it is, I mean, you know, we don't have anything to hide. It's a great staff, and it's a great group of guys.
Speaking of Tom Sula and that D-line, how much easier can that group make your group's job?
Wow, it's pretty easy. I mean, I'll tell you what, I like this setup. You know, he's got some great players up front, but he's such a great teacher, you know, that, you know, it's been a lot of fun just to watch here. We're clean on a lot of stuff that usually you got to work through, but we're working on blocker control. If one ever does get up on us, we're going to be able to take care of it. But it is a lot of fun, and it's just exciting time of year, and it's going to be great. I mean, it's going to be great to watch this team develop and really do some great things here in the fall.
Don't want to hold you up too much. We really appreciate your time. I got to ask this because you commented on Mitch's wardrobe. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Minuski's look with the headband the and the bifocals?
Right. Well, see, now we've been to title boxing ourselves. You know, I'm trying to lose weight. Minuski, obviously, is getting bigger and bigger with the arms.
Right.
But if I looked, if I had the big arms like that, I'd be cut out. I'd have the sleeves like he does, too. But, yeah, he's a unique character. There's no question. But he's so much fun to work with, and then our players absolutely love him too. So, but he's just who he is, and that's
they,
a great
like
thing
to describe
about
him as a psychopath.
Really,
fair,
I don't
right?
See that? I think. I'll tell you what. Now he's quietly a heck of a dad. He's a heck of a father. I know he doesn't look that way. He looks like kids don't go anywhere near that guy. But now he's tremendous people, and nice thing about it, everybody can be themselves. I think Jay kind of sets a tone. You know, for guys to be themselves personality-wise, and we've got a few personalities on defense, I really believe.
If you make it on Hard Knocks, the cameras between you and Tom Sula, I mean, you guys are going to be stars. Have you been on it before?
No, I haven't been on it. That was my twin brother. But, I just think, you know, I'm sure they could pick another team. But if it shows up, you know, as long as it's not a distraction, you know, I think it'll be what it is. But I don't think it'll make anybody nervous, I don't think.
I'll tell you what, if you make it through Richmond in the hoodie, you'll look just like Greg.
Well, I tell you what now.
It's hot.
It's hot as it is. Look, I've been inside. They crank some air up in here. So, yeah, I don't think I'll be having a hoodie on out there at training camp. If I do, I'll be on a stretcher probably.
Thank you very much
for
your time.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks, great seeing you again.
Just another great interview with recurring guest Rob Ryan.
Recurring guest.
Who we very much appreciate his time. Clearly, Mitch more than the rest of us.
I very much appreciate
it. I just like how optimistic he is. He's bullish Rob. He's just, every answer is, I'm so excited to be coaching this team. I'm excited about this player. I'm ready to get going. And I think that kind of attitude can rub off on his linebackers.
The theme of this show is vindication for Mitch.
Is it?
Top button, you being wrong.
I didn't sign up for that.
I'm feeling good about this one.
But that's the theme of today's show?
That's what I'm going with.
The theme of today's show or like the show?
The show of all the time.
All right, sure it is. A couple things that stood out for me there. I thought it was so cool how Ryan took the time to talk about Minuski the dad, because we focus on these guys so much in so much detail and just crunch the numbers and, you know, should this guy be fired? I mean, that the conversation about Minuski for a few seasons has been, should he be fired? Should he have even been hired for the job in the first place? And it's just, these guys have a life too, man, and I think a lot of times we forget about that aspect. But that said, I do want to now dig into the numbers. So we saw the Redskins' defense last year. Rob said top five. I think he was being generous.
He was being nice.
There were times early in the year they looked like a really good team. There were also times against the Saints, the
Falcons, the Colts. The Colts wasn't a great
Colts
look.
Colts didn't pile up points, though.
Yeah, but they moved the ball up and down the field pretty
sure.
well.
Sure, but I mean, hell, the New York Football Giants put up 40.
Yeah.
At FedEx Field.
Wasn't it like 32, 35?
I think it was 40-0 at one point.
There was a weird number.
I think it was like 33-0.
The biggest halftime deficit ever for the Redskins.
And that's when he put Josh Johnson in, and the comeback got started.
Got lit.
What a wacky sentence that is.
Yeah. Josh Johnson train got moving. Yeah. And the hype train.
I've said this before. I think as soon as Mark Sanchez threw the pick six in that game, the team just quit.
Yep.
And I think that happened, and I don't know that anybody will ever officially agree with me, but that's the truth. And I think they got reinvigorated when Johnson went back in. But regardless of all that, there were good signs from this Redskins defense last year. We saw them. Certainly defensively, the guys up front, and I know you have some stuff you want to share on that, Mitch. But I was thinking about this as we're watching the Nats right now, and they're on a bit of a hot streak, right?
Yeah.
They won 5 out of 6 or something.
Yep.
Cool. But I remember before the year started, everybody's like, dude, the Nats are going to the World Series, Vegas odds. Richard Justice, like really, really well-informed, smart baseball people were calling them a near-perfect team. And I was like, wait a second, this team barely was over 500 last year. They lost Bryce Harper. Their manager still sucks. Like, and now we just think they're going to be better? Right. And I get that Patrick Corbin's a good pitcher, but, like, has anybody looked at Jeremy Hellickson or any of these other dudes? So at what point with this Redskins defense are we not looking at fool's gold? Like are they that much better?
You don't think bringing in Landon Collins is a big difference?
Yes, I do.
Right? I think that if you look at some of the moves,
DJ played pretty well at times. And that kind of gets lost.
I think Landon can play at that level all the time, but his level could even be higher than what DJ does.
I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree with
Montez Sweat. I think will be an upgrade over Preston Smith.
I think certainly in time. I don't know that he will. You know what?
Not right away.
I think he will be right away.
Yeah. I think he's going to be.
I am bullish, Mitch.
You are bullish on this.
And everybody saw yesterday that Montez Sweat signed his rookie contract. The delay there from everything I kind of heard is this is a dude that thought he was going to be a top 10 pick. So when you fall to 26 and you're expecting X and you land X minus 4, whatever right. roughly those numbers are.
Whatever that math is.
You might be like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, this kind of sucks.
Yeah, it was like look at his face in the picture.
It's like,
that ain't beaming smile sideline to sideline.
Out there, I was also after a long day of practice and working out in meetings and whatnot.
Sure.
I mean.
Sure. I'm just saying.
He's probably pretty happy to have some cash in his pocket.
I am sure he's happy. But when you think you're going top 10 and you go 26, yes. You know, it might take you a couple of days to sign that contract.
Yeah.
It
also gets slotted in as guys keep
but
going.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody's like, what was the delay? What was the delay? Man, because he was like, what the hell? That's your delay. Like,
really?
The
this
third
is all?
Rounder is one of these interesting things. Terry McLaurin still hasn't signed, per the information I got before we started on the show. And third round picks always take a while, and it's weird NFL offset language that the CBA provides the littlest bit of wiggle room, and typically agents try to wiggle as much as they can. And the deal will get done.
They wouldn't fit on this podcast, all that wiggle room they're trying
to. No, it's up or down around here.
Right.
Although Keim just completely refuses to do an up or down.
Keim would be a good agent.
Yeah, he wiggles
all
the way around.
He's probably representing McLaurin with all that wiggle
room. But hold on, going back to the defense real quick. You have another year, of the D-line being together. Daron Payne is in his second season. I think you're going to see Tim Settle take a step too. You're going to have more guys that are rotating through. Those guys got a little beat up towards the end of the season. You have two guys who seem like they're going to be studs rushing the quarterback.
Sure. One guy is a stud.
And it seems like Montez Sweat will be.
Let's look at this list real quick. So for the folks watching on the stream, you have the front seven defenders picked before Sweat. Now, not all of these guys are direct comps because some of them are interior guys. Mm-hmm. But if I had to guess, not only is Dwayne Haskins wondering how Daniel Jones went ahead of him, but like when Montez Sweat sees
Farrell at 4 and Burns at 16.
Dexter Lawrence at 17.
He might
17.
Think he's better than Josh Allen as an edge rusher. There are guys on there.
The way these guys are wired,
he thinks he's better than
all of them.
Yes.
I mean, that's how you operate.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how you operate on this level of sports.
And so, there was a point pre-draft where he was, after Nick Bosa and after Quinnen Williams, was the guy they were talking about that might go, what is it, to the Jags at 7?
Yeah.
I mean, 11 down defensive linemen drafted before him. That's
he's
a lot.
He's not the 12th best guy of that group.
No.
I'll tell you that much.
Now, there are the injury, the
there's
heart concern.
There's more to it, right, than just the talent.
Did take him off some boards. The Redskins, everything I've heard is that they're completely fine with it.
Yeah.
Completely fine with it.
Well, you remember, I think you brought up about the heart situation. That's a matter of millimeters. One doctor can look at it and say,
right,
it is an issue. Another doctor can look at it and say, it's within the acceptable range. So, I mean, it wasn't an issue for the Redskins. Clearly, it was for some other teams.
Clearly. I think the bigger thing, and I don't know when. So I wrote this thing maybe the night before the draft, kind of my like bold predictions for the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And I had heard that Montez was going to drop more than people were expecting and that it wasn't all the health situation. And if you listen to Cooley's podcast, which I suggest you do, he talked about some coaches were concerned how you have to coach Montez Sweat. And I can't tell you how little I care about that.
Meaning... But, his like effort levels?
No.
Or just how he
how you interact with
him. How he responds to coaching?
I always go back to Bill Parcells talking about Lawrence Taylor. And I don't want to compare Montez Sweat to Lawrence Taylor, who's probably the best defensive player to ever play football. But he has some traits that make you go, wow.
Certainly.
And Parcells said, I don't treat everybody fair, but I treat everybody the same. Basically, he doesn't care. I think I botched that. I don't treat everybody the same, but I treat everybody fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Because LT is able to do what he wanted. And the fourth linebacker better be on time for every damn practice. and I think
Montez better be on time as a rookie for practices too.
Whatever it is that he needs.
Right.
Whatever it is that he needs, do it. Because you don't have enough blue chip talent.
You're saying whatever coddling he needs?
I don't know that it's coddling. It could be nothing.
If this
could
all be blue Gatorade instead of yellow Gatorade, give Montez the blue Gatorade.
Certainly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. He has to be a part of the team in whatever capacity that requires, right? And there has to be a standard that is set that he has to live up to. But if he needs blue Gatorade, get the kids some blue Gatorade.
So your big question was, are we sure this team is better? You're comparing them to the Nationals. So are you trying to say, like, where's this defense? Where's their bullpen? Where's the unit we're kind of just assuming will be fine and that's going to hurt them?
And is it not still cornerback?
Yeah. Cornerback? So, yeah, I think the front seven will be better just because of the maturation of the guys.
Well, I think the front seven was also good.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah. And I think it's just going to keep getting better. I don't think we have to really worry about maybe front seven isn't fair. It's the front three and the outside guys. I think the middle linebacker spots are concerning,
they took
of
a
course.
Hit there with Reuben Foster.
And corner is still kind of frightening, too.
Right.
And I understand safety, of course.
Now, I think Collins will actually help the inside linebackers.
Right,
because Collins is a really good tackler in the run game that maybe Swearinger wasn't. I just don't know on the outsides. I think there's big question marks.
I also yell about this all the time, but having Montez Sweat and having Kerrigan get after the quarterback helps that secondary so much.
Helps everybody.
I mean,
helps everybody.
The faster those guys have to get rid of the ball, the more pressure in their face.
Helps everybody.
Less accurate.
It's not this simple to just look at the names of last year, the names of this year, but the areas you're worried about are the starting linebackers who finished last year. They're back. And the corners that you had last year are back. It's not like you lost any of those guys, so if they can step forward along with these new pieces. So hopefully there's not going to be a massive drop-off because you
saw
somewhat the same personnel.
So that goes to
but that's the
Nats
Nationals.
Theory.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's this assumption of stepping forward.
Right.
That ain't always the case.
Yeah.
And listen, Rob Ryan was pretty bullish about his entire core, but him talking about Mason losing weight and getting moving and that he's going to be a little bit quicker this year, that could be a big change in his game.
Do we all agree that John Allen is one guy that's going to step forward? His game is already very good, and I think he's on the verge of being a great, great player.
Yep. Yes.
All right, let's take a very quick break, and then we're going to hear from John Allen when we come back.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
All right. We talked about John Allen. It's time to hear from a guy that could be a defensive captain. That's going to be one of the most interesting things to watch is who gets that Redskins captain. You see all these guys working out at OTAs in Ashburn, and the group does seem to really like each other, and they're supposed to. It's May. Nobody's lost a game. Nobody's had a fumble, but they seem to be having fun out there. Morgan Moses, Vernon Davis, everybody's there. But John Allen always has a very concise way with words when you're talking about the defense.
I mean, every year you have to kind of start all over. So right now we're just trying to stack the blocks, get ready for training camp, honestly. Start over. Every year you have to start over.
Are you pleased with the energy, kind of the excitement from the guys all throughout these OTAs?
Oh, man, 100%. I mean, this is second week of OTAs. I mean, you got to be excited to be out here. If you're not, you're in the wrong building.
I get the sense that you relish the role of being a leader on this defense.
I mean, Honestly, not really. I really don't care. I just want to win games. People view me as a leader, so be it. I'm just trying to win games, honestly.
It seems like the pieces are in place for this group to be a top 10 defense. Do you feel that way as well?
I feel that way the last 3 years, but we haven't done it. I mean, you can have all the pieces you want, but if you're not consistent and everybody doesn't do their job, it really doesn't matter. So, I mean, we have a bunch of pieces, but pieces don't win games.
Now, New Orleans made a bunch of plays out here. What stood out? I mean, obviously the picks stand out, but yeah. What catches your eye about it?
Just how quickly he's grasped on everything. I mean, I didn't even really do a lot of conversating with him before, you know, this week. And so he's definitely jumped out this week.
Now, there are reports out there that Redskins are in the running to be on the HBO Hard Knocks series. Is that something you would like to shy away from?
No matter, man. They're not going to be talking to me anyway. I mean, we got Haskins. They're going to be talking to Haskins, so don't matter to me.
I don't know. All you Alabama guys might get to play. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah.
What other rookies have stood out to you? Jordan Brofer was someone I kept seeing running around the end. Who else has stood out to you, maybe?
I mean, we have a bunch of guys. Haskins, obviously, Sweat, Holcomb. We have a bunch of guys. I really like our rookie class. So, I mean, really, they're all doing a good job, but you just never know until you put the pads on.
You kind of touched on it with all Alabama guys here. What is it about the Crimson Tide and the Redskins that seems like it's been a good fit for?
It's just the culture we're trying to build around here. I mean, and they keep bringing in guys who are part of a winning culture, and that's what we're trying to get around here. And not even just the winning culture, it's the winning mentality.
John, we have the military out here today.
Brother, two uncles, and my brother is in the military, my other brother, so it means a lot. I mean, definitely grew up in a military family, so I have a lot of appreciation for what they do.
When you see all of them out there watching you in full uniform, what goes through your mind about what they've been through, what you're going through, and what you mean to them?
I mean, I hope I mean a lot to them, because what we do is nothing compared to what they have to do or go through, so it means a lot. So make sure I shake each one's hand individually and just talk to them for a little bit.
No needless words with John Allen. There is never any bluster or ego or flattery. He's telling you the truth.
If he wrote blocks for us, they'd be even shorter than my blocks.
They would be. If you've read Strunk and White, like the Bible of writing, when they right. say omit needless words, yeah. John Allen is hitting
every bookcase at home.
And to be honest, I think he's going to be the best individual player on this defense, but I don't think he's the captain for that reason.
Well, he said it. He's like, I don't really care about that. People want to call me a leader, fine. I just want to win games.
Exactly. He's a lead by example type guy, right. But I don't know that gets the C on the chest.
I think Collins gets the C on the chest.
I agree.
But here's kind of going back to our previous discussion, and the reason I think it's worth digging in on the defense is that offensively, we kind of know what they're going to be. The best possible outcome for this offense is if Dwayne Haskins is a star as a rookie. And that's pretty unlikely. He could be good.
We talked about what percent chance. What percent chance do you think it is that Dwayne steps in and is a star?
A star?
Rookie of the year candidate.
Let's say, yeah, rookie of the year candidate.
To hell with that. Let's give it – okay, candidate is fine. But let's say 25 TDs or more under 13 picks.
Better than a 2-to-1 ratio.
Better than 2-to-1 or better.
2-to-1 or better.
But you got to get north of 20.
Yeah, you can't be a certain number. Yeah. You can't be a 10-5 guy.
15%.
Yeah, that was the number I had in my head. 15%.
And not because I'm not bullish on Haskins' potential. It's hard to be a rookie quarterback. Everybody loves Sam Darnold. And I don't know what his numbers were last year.
Yeah. It's tough to be a star rookie quarterback, especially when you don't have a whole lot of help on the outside.
It's a lot easier to step in when the offense is ready for you. I'd say maybe 20%, just give it a 1-5, but not
Darnold last year was 17-15.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, the Jets have their face of the franchise guy. Like, if that's the bar, then, you know, Dwayne doesn't have to do a ton, I guess.
Baker Mayfield was 27-14, so that wasn't quite 2-1.
Right there. Yeah. He also didn't play the first 5 games of the season?
No, I had 13
three.
Starts.
It was week 3.
Yeah. Oh, it was week 3?
Okay. Yeah.
So be it. That was by injury, right?
Right.
Right.
My greater point here is that if this team is going to win games, if this team is going to get into the playoffs and keep Jay Gruden's job potentially, I think it's just what he told us when we talked to him in Arizona. They're going to win ugly. They're going to win 23-20 and 17-14. And I think a lot of that pressure lies on the defense. And that's why the John Allen quote that really stood out to me: we have a bunch of pieces, but pieces don't win games.
He says, I feel like we've been a top 10 defense all 3 years I've been here, and we just haven't been it. It's got to be consistency.
And that's the thing that I think it's easy to get caught up in the talent.
Montez is here. Landon's here. Yeah.
It's got to be consistent. And then you point that back to the scheme and the coaching staff. Are they getting everything out? And they made some pretty significant coaching staff changes.
Yeah.
Going to Ray Horton, I think all of a sudden there is a ton of experience, and I'm going to add accountability on that secondary.
Yeah. the secondary and the inside linebackers too. I mean, both those changes, you have, you bring in two guys with a ton of experience, head coaching experience too, who have run defenses. There's a lot of voices in that room. There are a lot of voices that are loud
but
in that
room. In the individual position group meeting rooms, yeah, those voices have changed significantly.
Significantly.
And so yesterday was our first real chance to see Landon Collins on the field. We talked about his swag meter. Pete, what'd you have him on, a 0 to 10
I think
swag?
I had his thickness was about a 6, and his swag was a 9 out of 10. I mean, that guy was swagged out.
9 out of 10?
Yeah.
What gets you a 10?
Dion. Dion's got to be the king of swag, right?
Yeah, just...
You never even saw Dion.
There's like, you can do some cool things with tape. You can put some stuff on your face mask. You can have like just... You can wear a different jersey number in practice. Like, D-Hall wearing 2 in practice, but 23 in games. That's how you get a 10 out of swag.
D-Jax wore a different jersey.
Yeah, he wore 1. Yeah, I mean, D-Jax is the king of swag.
Dion. Go watch some Dion.
Okay, I will.
Dion like, made swag a thing. Like, right. He has the quote, like...
The godfather of swag.
The godfather of swag.
Indeed. But Landon Collins was also on the field briefly. He's still coming back from the shoulder injury. I think this team's going to be very smart about how they use him, rightfully so. But we got to see him on the field a little bit, and then we got to catch up with him afterwards.
It's good. It's good. We're making plays. You saw Jimmy doing his thing. And three today, the Shades are making a pick. He's making plays and making right communication and right calls and just being on the same page. So it's a good call out there.
You've been through OTAs. So what do you want to take away from this and learn from this individually and as a unit?
Honestly, individually, just for myself, just going through the process, making sure I'm making sure myself is right for my team, making sure my guys are right for themselves. And then as collectively, just getting better each and every day, putting the work out, ethic out there, making sure we're working and making sure we're on the same page each and every day.
What are you looking for in the safety who's going to eventually start next to you?
Just great communication. Just go after that ball, go get that ball, see ball, get ball.
What have you seen from each guy so far, DeShazer and Monte?
Like I said, seeing ball, get ball, they playing, making correct calls, we're on the same page, making sure we are doing the right things and disguising very well. So.
Why was it important for you to get out here in OTAs? You know, a lot of veterans would either take it off, especially coming off an injury, but it seems like you made it a priority to get out here this week.
Yeah, I can't take no time off. That's just me. I can't sit around, and I've been sitting around the past, 3 years I've been hurt, so just getting out here, just getting the reps, getting the guys, I need my belt and stuff like that, just getting hand-to-hand contact, you know, it helps a lot with me.
Feel like your range of motion's where it was, or is it your range of motion, or just like, are there any physical things you're still working through with it?
Just taking it step by step. Now I got full range of motion, just taking it step by step and making sure I don't hurt it again. That's it.
You have any early impressions of Dwayne Haskins now that you've lined up against him in 7-on-7 and a little bit 11-on-11?
He's going to make rookie mistakes. That's what that time is for. This time is for. We want him to make those mistakes so he can learn from them. And from that standpoint, when we get to the game, when we get to Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays, he's going to ball out for us.
Do you notice any difference between how his offense runs compared to how Case is doing so far?
It's so hard to keep up with who's in the game at what time because I'm playing against them. So, I gotta watch it on the tape, and I'll let you know next time.
I got to point out some good questions from another reporter there.
Well done, Peter.
Got in there. I had the Jimmy Mullen hat trick. Three questions in one scrum.
Waited pretty long.
No, you didn't hear my first one. I was in there, I think, third, asking what he wants from his other safety.
You got a little dance for us?
Nope. No, I'm not.
Wow.
Don't want to give any gift material at any.
All right.
Let's talk about what Landon said there. He is very much not messing around when he talks about this. There is a similar vein when you talk to these Bama guys, and they are serious about their football. And they're not taking any of this lightly. That Landon Collins is there at OTAs, even though he's hurt, and he just signed an $80 million contract. I think that's why you sign him to that sort of contract, because you believe he's going to be there. We had this debate yesterday. I think Monte Nicholson ends up lining up next to him. I think Monte Nicholson could use some seriousness to his approach to football. Yeah. Now, he's dealt with injuries. He's dealt with concussions, and head issues are something that none of us can really quantify or try to explain. And I think it's important to be clear about that. But it's going to be different next to Landon Collins than it was with DJ Swearinger. One of the things that was always remarkable about DJ is after they lost and he would criticize the team, he'd be like, we got too many people singing and dancing and living it up. And then 3 days later, you'd see DJ dancing in practice. And you're like,
DJ was a dancer pregame,
right.
Postgame, whatever.
Dude,
whatever.
I am not...
There's no equation of dancing and...
I'm not the minister in Footloose. I'm not trying to negate anyone's dancing.
You can dance if you want, but don't call other people for dancing.
Right. Neither of you got that Song reference,
dance
huh?
If you wanna. I tried to track with it. It didn't work. Sorry.
It's all right. I don't even know who's. It's like a weird Australian band. You would know it.
I got nothing.
Play it for us after.
Yeah, I guess we can't like just randomly play songs on my computer.
Right,
yeah,
like we normally would during yeah. during a pod.
Get us axed real quick. Yeah. No more.
That was your last stream.
TV.
Way to go.
Go back to the cars.
Right. So, where do you think they are in the secondary? I think Collins is going to help a lot. I think Collins has to stay healthy. He got hurt last year. He got hurt 2 years ago. He's not missing a ton of time, but he's missing time.
Yeah.
How much better does he make them?
Well, I'm kind of nervous because your two big cornerbacks, one is there but can't play because he is coming back from a mysterious shin injury, and the other one is nowhere to be found, sending out tweets that are cryptic, could mean one thing, could mean the other.
So we're clear on Josh Norman, and everything can change all the time.
Right? Yeah.
But I reached out to a Redskins source and asked, hey, what's going on with Norman? And the response was, we've had no discussions about any moves.
Okay. Which I think is the right approach.
But hold on. 2 days before before free agency, I asked about Zach Brown and got the same answer.
Okay, yeah.
Now, the situations are entirely right. different, but
it's not ironclad.
Things
can
always change.
You know what I'll say? Quentin Dunbar, have you guys seen this?
No. Are you going to ask if we've seen him run?
They're the 40-yard dash thing?
They're doing the 40-yard dash competition for cash or whatever it is.
The dash for cash.
And DRC is in the running for it. So is Quentin Dunbar. So clearly, the dude thinks he can run.
What does that mean? What is the dash for cash?
They have a bunch of AFC and NFC guys, and there's some sort of vote for who's going to run, and they're going to do a primetime special where they line up next to each other, and the AFC guys are all going to race each other. The NFC guys are all going to race each other.
It's like a Super Bowl?
It's basically a bracket, and they're going to have the fastest guy is going to win some cash.
Are either of those guys the fastest guys the Skins got?
I feel like they're both
DRC maybe 10 years ago, and Quentin Dunbar.
I think it was Zach Brown.
Yeah. Right?
But the point being, Sweat might be the fastest
but
guy.
The point being, if
Paul Richardson probably, yeah, but yeah. He ain't running.
The point being, if Quentin Dunbar is throwing his name in the ring for that, he's got to be healthy enough to run a 40-yard dash.
Well, and the folks there, Jay Gruden says he's good.
Yeah.
And people there say he's good.
We haven't seen him do much, but if he's going to be opening himself up to that kind of criticism by...
When does that occur? When is this event?
July.
I guess my thing with the secondary, and this is kind of how it was last year, the first four guys... Your two starters right now and your two safeties, Monte and Landon, feel pretty good about them. There's a ton of inexperience behind them, and knowing Josh, knowing Quentin, they're going to maybe miss a couple games here or there. Yeah. And of course,
Josh is durable, dude.
I know, but he always has like a cracked rib or some weird hand injury.
Plays through it.
And with the way the NFL is, with all the sets you run and all the guys you need out there, you're going to see a lot of Jimmy Moreland and Adonis Alexander's probably, and that is where things get a little dicey. We have no idea. Jay Gruden said he likes the commitment from DRC coming back, but, I mean, that's a guy who retired 6 months ago, and he's 34.
He's also 33, 34 years.
Yeah.
He's got some swag. Watching him at practice.
Yeah. He's got veteran swag.
Yeah.
So I don't love the starters. I like the starters, and I like what Landon Collins can hopefully do to make them all better, but I get real, real nervous when we have to start going down that depth
chart.
You
know what this team could choose? Development from Adonis Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has the size and talent – and he can be a real press corner. I mean, he has physicality in a way that really the only other guy that does is Josh Norman. We didn't see really a sniff of it last year. I don't know that he's ready to do it, but Reuben Foster was one guy we talked about. This guy's development could really help this team.
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing this year.
You know a guy they could use? Kendall Fuller.
Yeah.
Didn't have a great year last year, but just a guy that has shown promise, and to have a corner that got some playing time as a rookie and would now be in his third season in this defense. There's so much youth back there.
Well, shouldn't Moreau?
That's what I was going to say.
Right, you want Fabian Moreau to take that next step.
We had a conversation in the newsroom last week. I think Ben Standing was like, you know, aside from the obvious guys, the Collinses and the Haskins, who's a player this year that is kind of under the radar but who needs to step up, who's kind of under the gun? And Fabian Moreau's a guy who could really make this defense a lot better and change kind of the direction of it if he steps up the way Fuller did when he kind of had that second full year of playing time. I mean, Moreau is a really, really key piece, and we aren't exactly sure whether... I mean, it just really depends on how he grows from last year, because last year he played a ton.
I just wonder if he shouldn't be on the outside.
Yeah, it might be a miscast type of thing.
And then who's going on the inside?
Jimmy Moreland.
You're ready for Jimmy Moreland to be...
I would say Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who played the slot position really well 2 seasons ago for the Giants. I don't know what you got in DRC.
I think you look at this corner position almost like you look at the wide receivers. There are a lot of guys that could be there.
You got a lot, you just don't know what you got.
You just don't know what you got.
Which position group's better?
The corners are better just because
the top two starters.
Norman isn't the best corner in football, like he's getting paid for, but he's still a pretty damn good corner.
He's a top 20.
Yeah, he's a good football player, and if you separate from the money that he's making.
Consistently gets forgotten in the Norman conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is and why everyone talks about picks all the time. Because he's a corner, you expect that, but we talk about from time to time he's had
the fumbles too.
The 7 forced fumbles or whatever over the past 2 seasons.
7 turnovers last year.
7 forced fumbles the past 2 years, I think.
Okay.
But whatever the number is, he creates turnovers in other ways.
And he's willing to help out in run coverage.
Yeah,
he tackles really hard.
He's tough. And if you're trying to have all these young running back, all these young cornerbacks, it's not bad for them to see a tough guy.
We see.
You'd like him to be more involved in.
Yeah, we talk about Norman maybe being kind of, you know, not the friendliest guy or easiest guy to follow, kind of in meeting rooms. But when he's the way he plays from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, and it's just so physical. That's a different kind of tone.
Well, let's also talk about. Practice. I don't think friendly is a fair word.
Whatever. It's the.
I think it's just that he's an individual.
Right. He does his own thing.
But he everybody likes him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no faction there. Like, there were factions in the Norman Swearinger situation, which I always found so odd that their lockers were right next door to one another. Like,
and that they went to high school together.
Right. Norman and Breland didn't get along.
Yeah.
But they put their lockers on the opposite sides. But, like, you had Swearinger and Norman, and both, all of us, media, all of the people you see in these clips, we'd be waiting to talk to both of them every time, and then one of them would be trying to get dressed while we're interviewing the other, and they'd be like, come on, man, come on. Like, it's just a bad recipe.
Mitch's desk is on the opposite side of the newsroom from my desk. We just keep each other separate. And JP doesn't have a desk, so that's good.
No desk.
Yeah.
How's
keeps
that computer?
Us all separate.
Dude, computer's good. Dude,
I saw that
last night.
I saw a picture of the update last night.
Because remember the last time that happened was at the Combine in Indy, where it just stopped. But I don't know, man. I plugged it in. I plugged it in, and that's the difference in a new computer and an 8-year-old computer.
You splash some holy water on it or something.
No, dude, it updated, and all's well. We're very updated.
Where are you in the secondary?
Compared to the receivers, or
no, just you asked for our general vibe or what we're thinking about it.
I don't know that we have the complete product yet.
Yeah,
I
you're missing the two biggest parts, probably, or at least a corner.
Sure, but I also think as maybe veterans emerge from cuts elsewhere, I don't know that. I do think that a veteran linebacker has vaulted corner, safety, pass rusher on the defensive needs list because of the injury to Reuben Foster. We've seen a different mindset from this team this offseason, that they spent the money for Landon Collins, that they drafted Dwayne Haskins, they traded back into the first round to go get Montez Sweat. Jay Gruden's openly talking about the pressure on him to make the playoffs. He's not the only one facing that pressure. And I do think, whereas this team has been cautious, conservative, maybe arrogant in the past, assuming the talent they have was good enough to get it done, I don't know that they're going to display that same cautious, confident, arrogant mindset this year going into a very important 2019 season, especially where they start with a really, really tough schedule. And if things go bad, I don't think the organization wants to deal with an empty FedEx Field and all the stories that come with that.
Right.
So I think moves could still happen. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the money kept on the books with a dude like Vernon Davis, maybe you know that money's there and we can access it when we need to. It's like when Pete constantly has to add money into his checking.
Get some reinforcements in there.
I just circling back on Norman real quick, you talked about in the meeting room.
Yeah.
But let's talk about on the practice field. He's out there every day after practice. And whether the young guns want to be there or not, he drags them along and forces them to get extra work in. So
he does it every day at training camp?
Every day at training camp. During the
practice,
season, we see him week 8. He's out there after everyone's done with
lifting
a couple of the young corners.
Yeah.
The guy works really hard, and he forces the people around him to work hard, too.
I think those are all great points, and that's why the Norman conversation is nowhere near as simplistic as, hey, he makes so much money, you got to cut him.
Right.
Because you got to play somebody. It's like firing Dusty Baker. Like, now you got Davey Martinez.
A lot of Nets talk here.
You got to, I mean.
Yesterday was basketball, today's baseball.
Yeah.
And soon it will be Box Factory again, just for my guy that hits the Box Factory.
While you're at it. Download and subscribe to the Racing Presidents podcast.
Yeah, how about
they're
that?
Doing,
nice plug.
They're in the middle of a 4-game win streak. They're doing
five
good things
six,
over there.
They're on a heater.
Yeah. A heater.
Lock up Davey.
There we go.
I said my mea culpa to Mitch earlier. We posted this on our Instagram page. What should my punishment be for falsely accusing Mitch of supporting Eric Flowers? Is that accurate?
Yeah.
I thought you were on the Eric Flowers train. So this is the incomparable Jackson Didelake went back and listened to these podcasts to find out the truth about Mitch's thoughts on Eric Flowers. He said Mitch basically said Flowers might get cut,
yeah.
which, hell, after watching yesterday, He shouldn't go up against Montez Sweat anyway.
No.
Try and draw more of the other outside linebackers.
Right. So right. So I asked, or we asked on the Instagram, what should the punishment be? And
I got confused here. I said no PB&J, so I thought we were punishing Mitch. I got.
Why do you want to punish Mitch?
I don't know. I just got a
little. I was the one that was wronged in this.
I know. I'm sorry.
I bet you're eating more PB&Js than Mitch's.
I had one about 45 minutes ago, right before we got on the stream.
Mitch is shedding pounds, dude.
I've been off the PB&J train a little bit.
Television Mitch versus reality Mitch. You're not eating PB&Js lately.
Not at the moment.
Once we get back into the season, we're all going to be eating junk. But
we're
right going
to be eating PB&Js. We're trying to use the offseason just like everybody else.
Well, do we have any more of the responses? I don't know. Pete, can you pull it up on your phone?
Here was my thing about the punishment for JP. I don't think we need to punish JP.
All right, I support that punishment.
Somebody said his weekend was punishment enough.
I made a big mistake with Ryan Anderson during week 8 of the season, which was a bad mistake.
There we go. These are better.
It was a bad mistake.
Wear shoes from Easy Bake 94.
I hate wearing shoes, especially now that it's hot.
Sergio says, "Finance Pete's new blazer."
Mitch and I had to ride out to Leesburg this morning. I didn't have shoes on the entire time.
It was okay.
And then I got some more here.
I was fresh out of the shower, so it was okay.
But Michael Taylor says, got to pay Pete's toll tag. I'm so into that idea.
No. How is my punishment helping you?
Right.
It should be something for Mitch.
Pete is so thirsty, he wants it to be about him.
Pete is thirsty and self-absorbed.
There are multiple comments about you either wearing shoes or socks. So you being barefoot/shoeless JP is
what are we doing right now?
So what were the nicknames
that you came
up with on Twitter? Because I have to do 100 later. I can't be barefoot on 100.
I figured you'd be barefoot right now underneath the desk.
My weekend was punishment enough. I read that to my wife. Not entertained.
Yeah, I'm sure not. I think your next weekend might be some punishment.
Did she go back and listen to the podcast and see what you said about the weekend?
Oh, I haven't told you guys this. We have a big bowl. Our friend Mike Miller is a devoted podcast.
Oh, yeah, we hear from Miller all the time.
We love Miller. Miller's wife, Michelle, now listens to the podcast.
No.
And whenever Lauren comes up, Michelle often texts Lauren, and now it's... We're kind of dumb because this is all pretty public. Lauren could listen to it if she
wants. No more Miss Finley talk, huh? Mrs. Finley talk.
The show's going to be on TV like 9 times over the weekend. We act like once we say it here, it's just gone forever. It's not.
Maybe I have to go top button.
That's
for one show.
Perfect.
You can pick the show.
Perfect.
So that is a suggestion from
Rue78. We have minicamp next week.
No. You don't want it?
I don't want you to steal my
look.
No,
he wants his own look.
It's my look.
Oh, you're getting territorial
over the worst look in the world. I'm proud of you, Mitchell.
I'm good. Fine. Listen, I said it. I don't think you need to.
This does not equate to the Ryan Anderson situation, just so we're clear.
I'm going
to
bring it up plenty of times, but you don't need any further punishment other than the embarrassment
of it. Really
the
weird.
Ryan Anderson
concerning.
Was wacky. I was worried you took a blow to the head.
It was late. It was a night game, right?
It was Jacksonville.
It was Tampa or Jacksonville, both of which were 1 o'clock.
You were out in the sun a lot.
And Jacksonville, I had the episode at the restaurant the night before, so
sure,
things didn't sit well there.
We've been doing those throwback pods. Somebody in the week 1 throwback pod picked up on you saying, hey, Ryan Anderson was at fullback. So you acknowledged it, and then you just totally forgot.
I had a tough week in Jacksonville.
Of course.
So.
We all did. Jacksonville was terrible.
Quick,
go full Jacksonville.
Quick.
Very important.
This podcast is going to go up, and you should listen to it. But tonight at midnight, a very special podcast will drop, and we're going to promote the hell out of that all weekend. Pete, you're in charge of that.
Yep. It's an honor.
Be sure to listen to that. I don't know if it's our best, but it's an important one. And we know that if you're with us like we think you are, you're going to enjoy it. I don't know that we mentioned Oorsman Automotive the entire show. So to our good friends, Bob Yaji, Bob Hager, Oorsman Automotive of Virginia. You should ride with them. Oorsman Automotive of Virginia.
Oorsman Automotive
of Virginia.
Virginia. There they are.
See you later.
Oorsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oorsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oorsman story.
Oorsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oorsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oorsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.